Welcome to Cast Your Anxieties. My name is James Hughes, and I'd like to start this episode with a mutual understanding. Anxiety is not rebellion. The scriptures call for us to carry a sound of worship, to cast our burdens and troubles to the Lord. He cares for you and what you're going through more than you may realize. Throughout this episode, I'm going to be reading from the New King James Bible. So let's pray together. Lord, I lift our listeners and myself to you in this moment. Help us, Lord Jesus, to surrender the troubles which we are protecting and drawing ourselves inwardly with. Would you come and illuminate that which you want to lift and reveal out of our hands, so that we may walk in trust and devotion to you, Lord Jesus. Amen. An anxious feeling is something that we should all acknowledge as very real. It can be at times debilitating, and it's something the Lord can lift and heal as we come to him with an open heart to receive. As it says in Matthew chapter 11, from verses 28 to 30, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." The trouble is, when we start replaying thoughts in our minds, and anxiety becomes a focus, it's very dangerous because it can form as a false deity in our lives. And as we worship it instead of Jesus, this anxiety, it starts to rewrite our identity. This is often the time when we need to listen because God is speaking to us. Because faith refuses to let the storm define our good shepherd. As it says in Psalm 46 from verses 1 to 3, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah." Have you ever considered the sound of these mountains? The roar of the waters engulfing them and the shaking that would be happening all around you? You see, I don't know about you, but for me it's awfully familiar. Because there are times in life when things unravel, and there's no off switch, and the mountains keep shaking, and the water keeps engulfing, and it's like there's no way to stop them. Yet scripture says this is where we must pause. It's in the midst of these moving mountains and trials and tribulations. God is our refuge and strength. And where we think we cannot continue, the Lord gives us the strength and the help we need to keep moving on the path he has laid out for us. Isn't that amazing? As it says in 1 Peter from chapter 5, verses 6 to 8, "Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all of your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Now let me really unpack this a little bit because it's quite profound when you really see the deeper tone of the text. One of the greatest adversaries to anxiety is humility. When we exalt the Lord above the situation we're in and acknowledge that we are under his mighty hand, when we cast our cares upon Jesus, and know that He cares for us and each and every step we take. We must be sober and vigilant with our comings and goings. What we receive in our lives is going to be a stepping stone for the enemy, because he walks around like a roaring lion. Yet while he tries to devour, as we protect our mind, as we take every thought captive, greater is He who lives in you. The enemy makes us think that if we let go, everything's going to fall apart. And you see, for some, this may actually be true, but the Lord never called you into that situation and to carry these things alone. You see, it says in Philippians 4, from verses 6 to 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Scripture declares that we should be anxious for nothing, that in all things we should submit our requests to prayer with a thankful heart. For He is with us, and He's never going to forsake us. Our Lord Jesus, as we surrender, He will give us a peace that surpasses all understanding, and it's going to guard our hearts and minds. Isn't that cool? This peace, right? It doesn't make sense. Not in a worldly way. There's a false sense of peace. But the Bible makes clear that this peace of heaven comes through surrender, and we receive it as we step into step with Him. This peace is more than worldly. It truly protects us. It takes us out of the trials and the troubles we're in our minds. As I was saying earlier, that we must take every thought captive and be renewed with a heavenward thinking. It's with these things in mind I really want to go through some deeper scripture with you. So I invite you now, if you've got your Bible, to open Matthew chapter 6, from verses 25 to 34 together. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow will be thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you? O you of little faith. Let's pause here for a moment and go into a little bit of a history lesson. It says, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven. Will He not much more clothe you? This grass, it was actually used in ovens as a source of heat. You know, we've got wood and coal today, and fire starters and etc. Yet the reality is, back in these times, grass was actually used as a source of heat to create. So in reality, when this grass is thrown into the oven, it's actually being used to make something. But the scripture is actually saying, will He not much more clothe you? O you of little faith. Let's continue from verse 31. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Wow, you know, I see so many people that beg, that demand, that say, I must eat, I must drink, I must clothe, when scripture says, if you are turning to men, you've turned to the wrong source. Scripture says, turn to God and he will clothe you. He will give you something to eat and drink. And for the most part, it's living water. It's something that you will never thirst again. And as you step in by faith and not by sight, as you walk the path the Lord has destined for you, you need nothing. You need not worry about tomorrow or the bills that might be due. It's saying, the scripture is saying, sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Focus on the things of today. Because we aren't just commanded not to worry. It's Jesus restoring the vision of our Father in heaven in us, that we can see through his eyes. I find that especially profound because the Father is the beginning and the end. He is Alpha and Omega. Jesus advocates on our behalf, and the Holy Ghost ministers to us in some of our most tender moments. You see, anxiety says, I'm safe when I'm in control. But Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's about stripping away the fears and replacing it with a sense of sonship and daughtership and fatherhood. Knowing who your Father is, knowing that Jesus is taking these steps with you and walking by your side. Because it's in these moments of desperation that we can walk beside him, we can turn, and we can begin to trust again. Scripture says to turn to him. You see, it's easy to get carried away in the things of the world, but the reality is, right, heaven does not call us to a life of torment. So let's continue unpacking some of this scripture together. It says in Psalm 55, from verses 22 to 23, cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. But you, O God, shall bring them down to the pit of destruction. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men shall not live out half their days. But I will trust in you. You see, there are people that call themselves Christian, people that call themselves believers, that don't trust Jesus, that don't know the hand of the Father, that don't know his provision, that are deceiving believers into believing that they are a sheep, when in fact they are a wolf. Because the Bible says we must not abandon the situations we face, nor refuse to acknowledge what only the Lord can sustain. We ultimately have to question our motives and our intentions. And if we are really and fully surrendered to the King of Kings and the Lord of Hosts, let us not be a people defined by anger and deceitfulness, to hold on to these horrible things, and to allow Jesus to come in and soften and mold us into his likeness. And this is something I really want to unpack a little bit. It's quite unique, so bear with me as we begin to kind of unfold this. Even anguish can take place without sin. You see, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane surrendered himself fully. He is strengthened. He's praying that if it be the will of the Father, his cup, his sacrifice may be taken from him. And I want to get a deeper understanding of that from Luke 22, from verses 39 to 46. So let's go through this together. Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives, as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, "Why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation." Even the disciples fell into temptation. The disciples slept, even though the Lord Jesus had said to not enter into temptation. You see, we aren't called to model an environment without emotion. We are called to model all of our feelings in a state that is surrendered. If Jesus can bring his exhaustion, his anguish to our Father in heaven, then anxiety does not disqualify you from praying earnestly and honestly before his throne. You see, Romans 8 from verses 26 to 28 says this, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purposes." You see, in weakness, in temptation, in times of trial and trouble, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost is near. Even when we run out of words and we don't know what to pray and we're in a place of, "Oh Lord, what do I do?" Trust and know that the Holy Spirit is interceding on your behalf. Because when our heart is searched, let us not be bloodthirsty. Let us not be in temptation and anger. But let our hearts be searched and our minds be drawn into alignment. Because when we begin to understand and see our lives with the will of God, he will work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Let's continue in scripture. John 14 from verses 26 to 27. "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You see, All too often in our trials and in our troubles, we neglect the fact that we have a helper that's been sent to help us. And his name is the Holy Spirit. He is sent in the name of Jesus and teaches all things. As Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." It's in these moments we can trust and let our guard down, to be taught, to be corrected, to be molded, to be conformed not by the patterns of this world, but the renewing of our mind. And with that, we are left with peace, a presence of love that nothing in all creation can separate us from. You see, in these moments of anxiety and fear, it becomes so easy to have squirrel brain and to do all these other things that make absolutely no sense. But when you come back to the scriptures, when you realize that you are operating in a frame where you can choose the Holy Spirit or the world, we've always got to choose the Holy Ghost. We've got to step in with the Father in step with us and trust and know that his will is pleasing, is good, and is perfect for our lives. Walk with me in these next few podcast episodes as we really define what our faith is, what our faith looks like, and how we are molded in the likeness of Jesus Christ. So if these words have impacted you, and if you feel so inclined, let's pray together as we finish today's episode. Lord Jesus, would you come and fill us up afresh? Lord, we have sinned. I have sinned. Lord, we have all fallen short of your glory. We've all fallen short of your kingdom. Yet, Jesus, you came and died for our sins. Lord Jesus, you descended to hell to get the keys of sin and Hades. Lord Jesus, you were resurrected on the third day. You took everything that was holding us back, Lord Jesus. You ascended to heaven, Lord, and you sent us the help of the Holy Spirit. Lord, let our minds be set on these things. Let our minds be set on the things of heaven. Lord, I pray over every listener, and I pray and I intercede, and I ask, Lord Jesus, that you would come and blow in and through their lives. Lord Jesus, would you move with fire and authority? Lord God, would you help people reorientate their minds from bloodthirstiness and anger, Lord, and into a place where you can mold them afresh, where you can take our iniquities, Lord Jesus, and begin to form them, begin to change them, Lord, so that we may become more like you. Oh, Lord Jesus, would you just come and really reveal yourself to our hearts, to our minds, to our souls, to our spirit? We pray all of these things in your mighty name, Lord Jesus. Amen.